Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Mike Grace and Kurt Bevacqua in studio, who are both excited for another game in the desert after a big win against the Diamondbacks last night.
Possible. I'm kind of excited about today. Last night was fun.
Last night was a lot of fun.
You've definitely found the right place to talk Padres, because no one knows baseball better than these guys.
I got to take your word for it.
Yeah.
I haven't had to face any real pitching in several years, so I'm going to take
Me
you.
Either.
No? No. You don't go out there and take your hacks against some of these guys?
I go out there and take my hacks against Iron Mike every once in a while when my kids go to the batting cage, but they just sit there and laugh at us.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bevacqua.
A rainy day here in San Diego. We're live from the Western Metal Building here at Petco Park. Rainy outside, but a sunny disposition after a good quality win last night after possibly the worst weekend of the year coming off that Giants series. That was just brutal. And to see the bats come alive last night, to see some good pitching, a lot more fun last night than what we've seen the last few days.
I think they just walked into that game last night, Mike, with some more confidence than they had up in San Francisco. I mean, they've done well out in Arizona against that particular starting pitching. And you know, as Yogi says, a big part of the game is mental. Whatever percentage of it is that he comes up with every time he says something about
you
it.
You nailed that one, buddy.
Exactly. Whatever percentage it is. So it's you know, they had a good feeling going into the game, and it didn't surprise me at all. The thing that I was most impressed with last night was guys going the other way with base hits.
And right off the start, Will Myers hits the opposite field home run, and exactly what you want to see from him, right?
It really is. I mean, he's really a lot stronger than I thought he was when he was acquired by the Padres. I didn't realize he had that kind of power going the other way. And he's a little bigger than I thought he was too. So that's maybe where that power comes from. But, you know, I saw some good at-bats by Jankowski. I saw some good at-bats by Spangenberg, especially Corey, when he got that bases loaded base hit to left field last night. And then Will, with the bases loaded, double into the gap.
Almost the exact same swing there, just didn't quite get the loft on it, a bases-clearing double there in the fifth inning. You had the two big innings. You had the five-run first and the five-run fifth, and Will Myers a big part of both of those. But like you said, a lot of guys putting a lot of good swings. Jed Jerko with some good swings, driving in runs. What you needed to see. It's kind of funny. Every time you've gotten really down on this team, they've had a few bad games in a row, they come out with one of these games, kind of a laugher to kind of like, okay, that's the team we thought we had. Again, all year long, the consistency just hasn't been there.
No, it hasn't. And we saw that last year also with this ball club, or at least the guys that were on this team from that ball club from last year. Just when you thought they were down and out, all of a sudden they come back and they score some runs and they start hitting the ball the other way. We just need more consistency from them. We really do. And we need more consistency from the pitching also. I mean, we got a good game from James last night. I mean, sure, it's much easier to pitch with a lead like he had, but just the same, you still have to go out there and pitch.
Right, no, and he struggled out of the chute there in the bottom of the first. He gets the five runs to take off the game there, and then he comes out, gives up some big hits, and but he does limit it to one run, and then he settles it in, and then he was in really, really good control from there. So, again, we haven't seen it all that often this year when the pitching's been good, the hitting hasn't. When the hitting's been good, the pitching hasn't. Yesterday, it all came together at the same time.
Well, and that's where his experience comes into play right there. I mean, when you've got a guy with the experience that he has, and he struggles like that at the beginning, which is really odd. I mean, some of the struggles that he's had are really strange. I mean, they really are. With him even trying to get his fastball over the plate for a strike, it seems like he struggles sometimes. So you think to yourself, you go, well, this guy's a veteran. He's going to be able to make the adjustment. You know, it's really not that easy. But when you can work your way through it, it really gives you a good feeling about who the guy is. Getting back to the hitting real quick, people don't realize how much more difficult it is to hit the ball the other way than it is to pull the ball.
Because you got to wait and let the ball get deeper in the zone?
You do. You do. And a lot of people think that the outside pitch is the easiest ball to hit the other way, and it's really not. The inside ball is the easiest ball to hit because you can inside out it. there's so many things that can go wrong with a ball on the outside part of the plate when you try to hit it the other way. Will Myers did a pretty good job of it last night, though.
Yeah, and he's got such a quick bat and such a short stroke that it's really exciting to see because, one, you know, it's going to help him get the bat through the zone quicker, and he can wait on the ball to get there and go the other way with it, and he's got the power to go along with it. So, like I've said all along, I've just been so excited that this guy's back. He's hitting the ball with power, and that's only going to lead to his mental state being in a great place for next year.
I think he's going to go into spring training next year with probably with a better head on him than he's had for maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, really, well, if you think about it.
And he's had this wrist thing that he's known since he was a kid that's irritated things, and they finally got it fixed. So hopefully that's going to solve. I mean, he did break the other wrist in Tampa, but now he's got this continual thing fixed, and that's got to give him a whole other level of confidence about being able to stay healthy and do what he's capable of doing.
Well, hopefully the broken wrist grew back stronger. He got this fixed, so he's good to go.
Yeah, he's good to go. Last night was a strange game, so you get the big lead early. Things are going well, and then you get a couple of kind of rough injuries, and that's going to get us to our AMR injury report. First off, Derek Norris, and we've talked about it all year. This guy's just been getting the crap beat out of him all year with foul balls. He takes another one off the hand. He can't stay in the game. You see him working. He slowly started getting to be able to make the fist, but it took a long time. He really took that foul tip flush on the hand there. So he doesn't make it through the game. Then a little bit later, James Shields takes a comebacker right off the forearm of his pitching arm. And, you know, it looked like it got him on a meaty part there, as you could tell, because it bruised up pretty quickly. But he convinced Murph and the training staff to let him stay in the game, finish the seventh inning, got him right around 100 pitches. Plus, I imagine after he got through that inning, that's when it's going to start getting sore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it caught him really, really flush. And he's taken a couple comebackers. That's the one where you really saw him grimace and show some outward pain there.
Yeah, that one got him good. I mean, it got him really good, solid. So solid that the ball didn't go very far. When the ball ricochets off your body, you know it just glanced you. That ball right there hit him solid, and it fell almost straight down.
You're right, because usually you'll see the ball kick off the pitcher to one of the other infielders, and they'll make the play. He had to go get it because
it just
died.
I know. When it goes straight down, you know it got you really, really good. And then the Norris thing, I mean, anybody that wears pink fingernail polish, I mean, how can he possibly stay in the game after getting hit, right?
He was tired of wearing lime green, I think.
Actually, he's got that down, so for all you folks that saw that, so that the pitcher can see the signals easier when he puts them down between his legs. But I would – Blooper, can you rerun the Derek Norris foul tip? Because I want to try to make a point here, and Mike told me something that I really wasn't aware of. You see where he's got his hand? I mean,
His throwing hand.
Why leave your hand in the front of your body where there's no protection when you can just put it, like, behind your leg or right behind your back, like all catchers used to do back in my day? You told me, and I didn't even realize.
It's something to watch now.
It is something to watch, and I'm going to pay attention to it because I find it hard to believe that all catchers hold their hand out in front of their body. I mean, there's no reason for him to take a foul ball in his hand right there.
Yeah, so like you're saying, when you're taught as a kid to at a very early age as a catcher, you put your throwing hand behind your back to protect it from foul tips. Now, as major leaguers get older, some of the simple fundamentals, like so many things that major leaguers do, those things kind of go by the wayside. And this is very anecdotal on my part, but I feel like most catchers, you know, maybe not necessarily in their lap. It's almost like it's resting on his lap and he catches it flush. But I think you see that pretty often, that you don't ever see a guy doing the full-on behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some kind of keep it under their leg, under the shin guard. But I think that the hand's out there a lot for most catchers, and I'm definitely going to pay attention to that going forward too.
I think there's an invention there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think we might be able to invent a little pocket on the side of the chest protector.
Oh, to slide it inside the chest protector?
Slide your little hand in there.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that. So do you know what Derek has now, Dr. Kurt?
No.
A bone bruise.
Really?
This is how you got your MD, is when we learned about bone bruises.
I guess when a bone gets hit now, it's a bone bruise.
pretty much, right? Pat Murphy did give a couple updates. He said Derek Norris is sore. X-rays were negative. He's day-to-day. He could pinch hit tonight. And we've seen him, you know, all the crazy stuff that's happened to him, and he comes right back and hits the next night or even catches the next day. So he is available. Austin Hedges was scheduled today because he's been going with Tyson Ross pretty steady. James Shields, he's fine. He's still sore. They don't think he's going to miss his next start, so he should stay on schedule. One other quick bit of injury news. Sean Kelly's going to throw a simulated game on Friday, maybe get a couple innings in before the end of the season. So that's our AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical response team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. So one of those things where could have been a lot worse, looked a lot worse, especially with Norris, but again, kind of got lucky there.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't know what to think. I really didn't, because I don't know what it represents when his hand shakes. Because most of the time, if your hand's shaking, you know, it really hurts. And I saw his hand shaking a little bit last night, and I'm thinking to myself, if it hurts him, it must really, really hurt.
Yeah, he's about the toughest guy we've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys that doesn't come around a lot when it comes to toughness.
No.
Gene Tennis was like that.
Yeah.
He was like that, and you know how he went down one year? Putting his socks on.
That's baseball.
I know.
Right?
It is. He blew his back out and couldn't move for a week.
Wow.
Putting his socks on in his hotel room.
Man.
I saw him take foul tips and get hit by pitches, and it was amazing, all the abuse that he used to take.
Well, that just shows you how crazy 162 games is on a human body and what it can do. You know, a professional athlete that does this every day, and he's worked to the point where, you know, just leaning over in the wrong spot tweaked his back and shut him down.
Yep.
One more note we wanted to touch on for last night's game. So you had the positive, then you start worrying about the guys getting hurt, but then you get excited again because Cody Decker, longtime minor leaguer, all-around great guy, super funny guy. He gets an at-bat. He gets the pinch hit in the ninth inning. He doesn't get a hit. He pops out, but his mom was there. She was interviewed by Chris Budden during the game. You see his girlfriend there. And, man, that was a special moment. There's just something special about Cody and how bad he's wanted this, how hard he's worked, and he finally gets that major league at bat. Hopefully he's going to get a start here or there for the rest of the season, maybe get that first big league hit or even his first big league home run. But that was really fun to see.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him when he gets to San Diego because I'm a little disappointed in his swings.
He was too.
Oh, man.
I think he let –
I wanted to see him go up there wailing.
He may have let the moment get to him. He gets ahead 2-1. Kind of a low and away pitch. He kind of throws the bat at it instead of taking a good hack, and you could tell he was a little upset.
Yeah, not necessarily that swing. You know, I didn't want to see that either, but I'm talking about the pitches that he took.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You don't think he should have gotten, like, a little comfortable up there, seen a few major league?
No, just go up there and wail.
He saw the snapper there, and he's like, oh, that's a little bit of a buckler.
All, you get it all worked out. He got two in a row, and they were both almost in the same place.
Yeah, the one was inside.
One was inside a little.
But, then he kind of threw the bat head at the pitch outside. But I'm sure he'll get another few chances to get that big league hit. And but a really cool story. And then Jay Jackson also makes his major league debut. Wasn't the cleanest of innings. Did get two-thirds of an inning in, gave up a couple runs there. But, again, the major league debut, it's always cool, especially in September when you see some of these guys, a couple older guys that have really had to work to get their way to the major league. So pretty fun to see there.
Boy, he's been with 11 different teams.
You know, it's one of those things. He's been a starter most of his minor league career. Now he's kind of found a little bit of a niche in the bullpen. He said it's been a big transition year to see how his body reacts to the different type of workload. And the results have been really positive. So you got to see a nice live arm there. And he's kind of auditioning for a spot in next year's bullpen, possibly.
I think when minor league guys come up, pitchers, the quicker they realize that they can pitch major league hitters inside, the better off they are. And they'll find out that they can be successful in there. As far as Cody's concerned, that was a good deal. I really enjoyed watching that, hearing all about it, and just hearing about his reactions and him getting the opportunity. I mean, you know, he's a six-year minor league free agent this year, so he's probably not going to be with the Padres next year, I wouldn't suspect. So I hope he gets an opportunity to go with another organization and play.
You never know. It could be back, could not be back. But, hey, a good thing for a good guy, like you said there. Going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, one, something really cool going on with our buddy over at Lob Shot. He's doing a really neat thing for charity and a really cool artistic thing. So we want to show you that and show you how that related to the show. Also, a little later, want to talk about an article that Jesse Spector wrote for the Sporting News talking about some possible realignment and some really interesting ideas. Blooper and I got thinking about it, so we want to share that with everybody as well. Help create a world without cancer. There is still time to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's Cancer Fighting Centers. You can ride in the event this weekend, September 18th or 20th, or you can easily donate to the cause. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org or text Pedal to 41444 to donate today. More Padre Social Hour coming up right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padre Social Hour presented by United Airlines. As always, we are an interactive show. We want to hear from everybody out there on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH, in the live chat, Padres.com/social hour. Ask your questions, send us your comments, and we'll talk about those on the air here. Want to talk about something that's pretty cool. So our buddy Brady Phelps, he's over at Lob Shots, one of the good Padres blogs out there. He's doing this thing for charity, for clean water, charity water. I think it's charitywater.org, and they raise money to get clean water. You know, there's like 700 million people in the world that don't have access to clean water. They're drinking out of dirty rivers and lakes and things like that. And, you know, really that is one of the basic needs of life, is clean water to be able to sustain yourself. So if you donate to his cause, he will do an artistic pancake for you. Like, he does really good pancake art. So Jesse Agler, the normal host of this show, donated to the cause, and he asked him to make a blooper pancake, a Seth Foster blooper pancake, and he did it. So now you can see this is like a cool little sped up version of him making it. So he's doing the little outline there. You can see the frames, the beard. He's making the hair, and then he's going to start filling this in. And if you go through his timeline, he's got some pretty incredible pieces of art he's done with pancakes, and this is kind of his thing. He's been doing it for a while, but now he's putting it to a good cause. So as he's about to flip it over for the unveil, and it's like, there's Blooper as a pancake. That's got to be like one of the highlights of your life, right?
It's so cool.
Did you eat it?
No.
So here you go. Now you can see the side-by-side of Blooper and his
amazing
pancake. Like, it looks like him, right?
That's amazing.
And our buddy Ben Higgins, he at first he didn't see it, so Brady put up this side-by-side. He thought it looked like James Lipton from the Inside the Actor studio. Kurt, what's your favorite word? That's one of his questions. Do you have a favorite word, Kurt?
Oh, James Lipton, you mean?
Yeah.
I know, he's cool. I like to watch him.
Yeah, I like to watch Will Ferrell do him. That was one of his Saturday Night Live characters,
mm-hmm.
And he did a fantastic James Lipton. But, yeah, so really cool. Good job, Brady. On the pancakes. That's pretty neat. You ever seen anything like that?
We might have to check that out. We might have to do that.
Do another pancake?
Yeah.
What would you want your pancake of if you're going to donate to the cause and have something chosen there?
Well, I'll think of something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to think about that?
I might have to do a pancake that I could kind of like hang with.
It won't be as cool as my pancake.
Oh, yeah, it would.
I want to know, when are you hanging with pancakes? What do you
like
mean by
that? Like a Christie
that?
Brinkley pancake or something.
You're like Clark Griswold driving along, and you see a pancake Christie Brinkley in the Ferrari next to you.
Isn't that a great commercial, that new one?
Yeah, it is.
It's so funny.
One of the latest Rusties.
And she's in the car, and she looks so good.
I can't disagree with you there, my friend.
I know.
All right, so a mere donation, and you can get your Christie Brinkley a pancake. All right, we're going to take a break and get this train back on track if we can. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jesse Spector's article and some of the realignment talk. You know, this is just kind of speculation and some fun things to think about, but want to get everybody's opinion out there. See if you like what we came up with, but to me, it kind of makes a lot of sense. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free. With quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. More from the AMR studios coming up right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back with you on a rainy Tuesday here in San Diego. And talking a little bit about possible things that could happen going forward. So the collective bargaining agreement ends next year. So I think there's going to be some things on the table, some possible changes around, and an interesting article. By the way, we're putting you on the Cholula hot seat just because anytime we have these crazy ideas, we love to get your take. And so essentially you are on the hot seat. So Jesse Spector, who's a friend of the show, he's come on a few times here, has an article over at the Sporting News talking about how great the Rangers and the Astros rivalry has become now that they're in the same division. They're battling for that division, for that wild card right there. Some tempers have flared. They're in the same state. Just really cool to see the interstate teams kind of really getting a real rivalry going. So it led to his thinking of, hey, let's start thinking about rearranging some of these divisions, getting some of these rivalries more head-to-head. Like, why shouldn't the two New York teams be in the same division so that you can really build up that rivalry instead of playing two series a year? Put them in the same division and just kind of rearrange everything. Now, he's going to come on the show tomorrow. He's got another article coming out. He's going to have 5-6 team divisions, which essentially tells me he's getting rid of the leagues in his idea. I don't know if I would go that far at this point, even though the way we, Blooper and I, kind of rearrange this, you might have to get rid of the leagues, because certain teams are going to, like, totally be screwed because you took away the DH or gave them the DH and they've been planning for years, whatever the case may be. But want to run through some of these divisions that really kind of set up some cool rivalries. So we're going to start in the East. So you would go with the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Phillies, and the Pirates. And the cool thing about these two is they're all so geographically close. I mean, this – I don't know East Coast – geography at all, but I mean they are in a tiny area. So you get the two New York teams and then obviously the Red Sox, and then you get the two Pennsylvania teams. So there's a kind of a cool Eastern division.
Pittsburgh's probably the furthest team from all the others.
Yeah, and it's really not that far, right? So then you move on to the next division, the North division. So you've got Detroit, Toronto, Minnesota, and the two Ohio teams, Cincinnati and Cleveland. This one's a little bit weird because you really want to keep those Eastern teams together, so like Toronto, Detroit. But you do have all the teams that are kind of around Canada with Detroit and Minnesota, and then you get those two Ohio teams. So Cincinnati and Cleveland, another cool rivalry that you could get going because they're in the opposite leagues now. Now you get them in the same division. Next one would be the South division. You get the two Florida teams in the same division. You get the Nationals and the Orioles in the same division, and then you got the Braves down there. So, you know, this one's probably like the furthest apart other than the kind of the goofy Texas one. But again, you get those kind of natural rivalries there. Like, why shouldn't Washington and Baltimore be in the same division? The next one would be the Central. You've got both Chicago teams, Kansas City, St. Louis, and Milwaukee. So like a really cool Midwestern division there. You know, it's I don't know.
I like that one the best.
You like that one the best?
Yes.
All right, we're going to keep going. This one, I think this next one's kind of wonky, but it's just the nature of it. So you've got the Rangers and the Astros, and then you get Colorado, Arizona, Seattle. They're kind of like the anomalies on the map. They're just kind of
the no-name division.
The no-name division, kind of. But you do get the two Texas teams, which is pretty cool there. And then finally we get to the West Division, or you could even call it the California Division, and then you get all the California teams in one division. So you get the Padres, the Dodgers, the Angels, the Giants, and the Athletics. The only thing I don't like about this is that you're adding another LA team with big budget to our division. But, man, that would be a lot of fun and makes things a little more simple having everybody in California. I don't know. You've seen them all. What do you think, Kurt?
Let's see. It's hard for me to make split decisions on things like this. I have to
talk it out.
Kind of look at it.
Talk it out.
I don't like the California division.
Why not? That's like the best part to me.
Because I think people deserve more than just what is there. I think they deserve the New York teams and the Midwest team. You're still gonna play everybody.
You're not gonna play the Mets or any of the other teams any less than you already do for the most part. It's just you don't have to go play Arizona and Colorado all the time. You get to play the A's and now the Angels instead of Colorado and Arizona.
Well, I know the ball club doesn't. The Padres don't want to play Houston. So
no.
They didn't fare too well against them.
Well, you can't think about this in terms of right now. You have to think about it in terms of 10 and 20 years. Like, hopefully this is something that doesn't change for a long time.
Probably.
So
that's exactly what it'll be.
So take the Eastern Division, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Pirates. I just think that would be really cool. I mean, now, if you're thinking about it, you're like, okay, this it's just not the way it's always been. So that's one way of thinking, but that's not really a reason not to do something like this.
You guys had time to think about this.
Sure. That's why you're on the hot seat, Kurt.
Yeah, I know. The seat's really hot today because it just doesn't make any sense to me right now.
Okay.
So
You like the divisions as they are. You like the leagues as they are, basically, without having had pre-thought into this.
I do.
Okay.
What are you going to do with the DH?
Now, that's one of the big questions. Do you keep the National League? Do you keep the American League? Most likely, the DH is going to be there for both leagues. I mean, that's just a personal guess. I think it's coming in 2017. The new collective bargaining agreement, I think there's just too much momentum for it. I don't really want to see it personally, but I think it's coming. Do you?
I think it probably will. I think it's more apt to come to the National League than it is to be axed from the American League.
I mean, the union would never let that position go away, right?
Well, I mean, it's going to cost, you know, 15 jobs.
Well, yes.
Just in the American League.
Either that or some guys that can hit need to learn how to play a position.
That's true.
Because you don't get an extra roster spot. It's just a position.
They kind of create a roster spot for a DH in a lot of circumstances.
No, you know what it does? It takes away a high-paying position, whereas the 25th man, you know, on most rosters is going to be a back-end reliever, which is going to be a minimum guy, where an American League team has to pay an extra position player quite a bit of money because they're very good at hitting. So – I agree. I think the union would never let him take away that high-paying position. So I think it's such an advantage to have it. And I know you think it's an advantage for the National League not to have it. But, you know, I think it needs to be evened out somehow, most likely. And I think it will be down the road.
I think so also. I think he's got a lot on his plate. The commissioner has a lot on his plate. I think they're going to be talking about a lot of different things going into next year's collective bargaining agreement negotiations, and it should be interesting. I mean, there's been peace for a long, long time. When was the last collective bargaining agreement after the 94 strike? Was it the year? The year right after?
I know there was one in 2001 that was very serious. After the 2001, between 2001 and 2002, because I was an intern at the time, I went to bartending school because I was afraid I was going to lose my job.
so that's been the time that everything's been cool since then.
I don't think there's been any true threat of labor stoppage since then, if my memory serves right.
So you thought you were going to lose it, huh?
We were pretty nervous. A lot of us were thinking about what we were going to do if there was no baseball and there were no jobs. So I'm not much of a drinker, but I do have a mixology license
there
or certificate. So
you always have a job then.
Right?
Yes.
I agree. All right, well, I'm going to take you off the Chulo hot seat, but I still want you to think about this as we go through the show. And we want to hear from you guys out there. If you like the idea, you don't like the idea, you would change the divisions up, tell us your thoughts. I think it's a fun topic and a fun conversation to have. You know, that's the cool part about baseball is just, you know, have these discussions.
I'm looking forward to hearing from the people on Twitter.
Yeah, let's see what they have to say.
Seeing what their position is.
See if they're on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Gonna take a break, but want to get to a couple tweets here real quick. First from Jellyman. He says, Austin Hedges was going to catch tonight. Anyone betting against Dino in the lineup tomorrow? I would bet that Dino will be in the lineup tomorrow.
I'm not going to bet against it.
You would never
sure.
bet against that guy, right? Mm-mm. And then our friends over at Padres Haiku, always so clever. With two catchers up, why play Norris rest of year? Let dude heal up. Anything to that for you? Let Derek Norris kind of get some time off away from the plate and just start healing?
I don't want to see him come back if he's hurting a little bit. You know, if he's only at 80 or 90%. Because it affects your hitting. I mean, if he truly got hit on the hand and he's got bruised knuckles, it's going to affect the grip that he has on the bat. And I don't want to see his numbers go down offensively. I don't want him to go into the winter with a negative attitude. I want him to have a positive attitude swinging the bat well.
Completely agree. We'll see. I mean, these veteran guys, sometimes it's tough for the manager to take them out of the lineup, but sometimes you got to make them, right?
Absolutely you do. You're the manager. I think that's the problem with managers today. They let the players dictate who's going to come be on the field and who's going to come out of the game, if you're going to come out of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, you a guy, you're right out of the line. I mean, Lou Piniella did that to Jack McKean in Kansas City. He was the first guy that I ever saw do that. I was in the lineup one day in the second game of a doubleheader, and I had played the first game. And I kiddingly said something to Jack that Piniella heard. And I said, hey, my roomie's pitching the next game. I did well the first game, so just leave me in there. Well, he put me in the place of Piniella. Well, Piniella went upside down.
He's not the most rational guy, right?
He went into Jack's office just screaming and hollering. He didn't play, though.
Nice.
Yeah. But now
managers could hold their ground
now,
back then. They had the power.
Exactly. Now it would have been different.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other discussion.
Yes, it is.
That's a very interesting discussion, and one that's going to happen here soon as the Padres think about their next manager. Absolutely going to be an interesting thing to talk about.
Who's going to be the manager next year, you mean?
Yeah, and what style they have. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be the type that can truly dictate the lineup no matter who's on the team? So, going to be fun to see.
You got to get backing from upper management when that happens.
That's who you need support from.
Big time.
Big time. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Get to today's lineup next and more of your tweets coming up right after the break.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studios. Mike Grace, Kurt Bavacqua. Talking a little bit about realignment. Jesse Spector with an article over at the Sporting News. Want to get some fan feedback out there. We got a few tweets. We'll get these through here. First, East Village Times says, that realignment makes zero sense. All the tradition of the AL and the NL can't just be thrown out the window.
There you go. That's exactly why I didn't have anything to say.
You with interleague play, to me, the AL and the NL have become very much less important than they ever were before. I'd prefer, if you're not going to keep them separate totally, then they don't matter to me nearly as much, especially if the DH changes. If the DH changes, then there's no real purpose of the leagues other than history. But, I mean, everything's the same now. The umpires are all the same. The baseballs are all the same. I mean, the baseballs used to be different.
The umpires are definitely all the same.
Right? The strike zone used to be different. I mean, it's all the same now. So I understand people's reluctance and thought process there, but at the same time, the DH rule changes, the league's kind of become obsolete.
I think the one word that you mentioned in there was history, and that's the deal, tradition. I mean, there's some things in baseball that just shouldn't be changed. There's some rules that need to be changed. We've got replay now. There's replay that needs to be looked at a little more in-depth. But there's some parts of the game that need to stay completely the same. And I think having two different leagues are one of those things that needs to remain the same.
Okay. Payson, he's P. Vicara 3, he says, I say no DH in either league. We're talking about professionals here. You should be able to do it all, hitting and fielding. I would love to see the DH not be a part of the game, but we talked about that. I mean, the union's probably not going to let it happen. I mean, you know, I see the other side of it. I mean, it would be a less fun game without David Ortiz in it.
I don't think that the DH was adapted because there were players that couldn't do certain parts of the game. I think the DH was adapted to put more offense into the game and make it more exciting when it happened. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that over the course of years, there were players that, as this guy that tweeted said, couldn't do certain things, was not a great defensive player, fell perfectly into the role of being a designated hitter. He didn't have to go out on the field ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to set up a rule, teams are going to figure out the best way to take advantage of that mm-hmm. rule. And as well they should, and they have over the course of the years, and now you see guys that basically can't. I mean, Edgar Martinez, probably not a big leaguer if there's no DH. I mean, he could not stay healthy playing any position on the field. He could only DH, and one of the great hitters of his era.
You know, that's a very, very, very good point. It really is. what would have happened to Edgar Martinez in his career? I mean, there's talk about that guy being elected into the Baseball's Hall of Fame.
And he's an absolute total test case because he's really the true DH candidate.
Exactly.
I mean, David Ortiz, I mean, he doesn't have the numbers of David Ortiz. David Ortiz has played a little first base in his younger years, and he'll likely be an easy Hall of Famer. But Edgar Martinez is definitely going to be interested to see how that evolves with Hall of Fame voters.
I don't think he's going to make it into the Hall of Fame myself, although I think he's a terrific hitter. I think he was a good player. But they would have found a place to play Edgar Martinez if there was no designated hitter.
They would have tried, but he couldn't stay healthy.
They would have found a place.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right because he was too good of a hitter not to keep on the field. But I mean, it changed the dynamic for him and for the American League and baseball in general.
It sure did.
So our buddy Jellyman, he says, too old school. Wouldn't mind new alignment if DH went away. Won't happen. Keep everything the same. So, you know, a lot of people kind of along those same lines. Our buddy Dan, the hashtag troll, he says, how dare you break up the Vetter Cup? Players care so much about it. So he does not want the natural rivalry with the Mariners broken up. So that is a definite downside to this whole idea. Hey, you can still play them. The Vetter Cup can still exist. But I don't know. I just think it would be really cool to have an all-California division.
Who came up with the Vetter Cup?
It kind of happened. It kind of happened. I mean, the internet came up with it. Padre blogs. I don't even know if Seattle, what the history is there. I mean, you know, kind of the Eddie Vetter claimed by Seattle, claimed by San Diego, and that's our rivalry. It's very much tongue in cheek. I don't think anybody takes it truly seriously, but it does make those games that we have to play a little more fun.
Absolutely, it does.
So, hey, but I know you're really excited about this, Star Wars night.
I am.
All the characters going to be here at Petco Park, just people dressed up. Everybody else can wear their costumes. I can't wait to see you in a Star Wars costume. It's going to happen, right?
I can't wait to get out my Leroy Neiman ears. They're tucked in my closet.
Let me translate. I think that was Leonard Nimoy ears, and that's Star Trek.
No, Leroy Neiman.
All right, then I'm lost.
You are?
Yeah, I'm lost.
He's the one that painted the picture of of all the Star Trek characters. You never saw that?
Again, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Exactly.
On Saturday, September 26th, for Star Wars Day, come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. Purchase a special ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt only available for the first 2,000 fans with Star Wars Day ticket. Get tickets at Padres.com/Star Wars. More with Star Trek superfan Kurt Bavakwa.
You can't keep up with me.
Right after this. You're right.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
We're back from the AMR studios. Kurt Bavakwa, Mike Grace, just under an hour until first pitch in Phoenix. Going to take a look at tonight's lineup. The lineup, as always, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Myers leading off playing first base today. Solarte at third. Kemp, Upton, Jerko playing shortstop. Corey Spangenberg at second. Austin Hedges catching, Tyson Ross in the 8-hole, and Travis Jankowski, the center fielder, batting 9th. Pretty standard these days. And look, is there a real reason not to throw Jed Jerko at shortstop every single game the rest of the way and just keep trying it? I mean, I'm relatively convinced at this point that he can be a big league shortstop, but like, why not just keep making sure the rest of the way? I mean, you know what you've got in Barmas. You know what you've got in Amarista. There's nobody on this roster. There's nobody close in the minor leagues to playing shortstop. So either he's your starting shortstop next year or your starting shortstop's front is not on this team right now.
That's exactly right. And that's the reason he will be out there every game throughout the course of the end this season. So I tell you what, he has really surprised me.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you at how well he's playing shortstop?
Oh, 9.8.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
I shouldn't say that. 8.5. I knew he was going to – he's sure-handed. I knew he was going to do a decent job on any ball that was hit right at him.
That ball up the middle last night, that's a really good play.
Darn right it was a good play. No, he's been impressive. He really has. And just the fact that he looks so comfortable – when he's out there the whole time is really remarkable. I mean, it really is. Shortstop at the major league level is a very, very difficult position to play. And for him just to move over there after having moved already positions the last couple of years back and forth and then be put there and then get moved back and then be put back there again, it's not an easy thing to go through.
You look at guys like Matt Kemp and Justin Upton and even Will Myers. Like, I see those guys and I see, like, okay, these guys are really good athletes that are really good at baseball. Then I see a guy like Jed Jerko, and it's funny because he actually is a very good athlete, but to me, he just looks like a baseball player. Like, does that make sense? Like, he just looks like a baseball player. You throw him out there in almost any position, he's going to look natural, especially in the infield where he's played all his life. Now, who knows if he could go out and shag fly balls, which I'm guessing he can, but he just looks so natural. Now, the range is probably never going to be there, but you look at a guy like Johnny Peralta or Juan Uribe, never great range. You just want that guy that's going to make the solid plays, the everyday play, and if he can hit like he has in the second half, I mean, that is a true, true asset in your infield.
If you saw Will Myers and Matt Kemp and Jed Jerko walking down the street together and you flipped each one of them a baseball and they all threw it, you'd be least surprised at Jed Jerko throwing a baseball good than the other two guys, because you're going to say that guy's an athlete.
Right.
Certainly not because those other two aren't, but, you know, they're good looking. They could be models.
What are you saying about Jed?
Nothing at all.
How about Will Myers clean shaved last night?
I know. I'm looking forward to that happening over the winter to a few of the guys.
Oh, you think they're going to come back clean shaven next year?
I hope.
Maybe those come back stash.
That would be good, too.
You'd be in favor of that?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be impeding on your territory?
No, not at all.
You're all for Team Mustache?
Sure. Yeah. I'd consider it an honor, as a matter of fact.
Who was it? Andrew Chafin last night for the Diamondbacks. He had a nice little blonde mustache, a little Larry Bird work in there. Didn't help him get any outs, but
I think they need to shave some of 2015 away.
The beards were a big part of this year and not a successful year, so I see where you're going there. But, kind of getting back to the point, pretty amazed at Jed Jerko, but I mean, I'm really excited about the possibilities. I mean, I can't imagine most people thought it would have gone this well, and who knows if it will, but, I mean, it was a well-worth-it experiment and really exciting for the future.
Anybody that tells you they would have thought he was as good as he's been is lying, I guarantee you, because I never thought it. I thought he could go out there, catch the ball that was hit to him, but I never thought he'd be able to make some of the plays that he's made and certainly go errorless in all the games that he's played. I mean, it's been amazing. It really has.
It really has, and that's all you really asked for.
You know what? I've always liked Jed.
Of course.
Even when everybody was down on him when he got sent to the minor leagues and everything, I knew he was going through a little bit of it in his sophomore year. How big he was going to come back, I wasn't sure, but I feel good now about how big he's going to come back.
All right, well, maybe you'll take him in the head-to-head Supercuts Challenge next. We'll see. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Peco Park at the Park of the Park or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Finishing up the show with the head-to-head challenge right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Final segment of a really, really fun social hour. We've been talking about possible division realignment, and Padres Haiku chimes in one more time. They say, nice new divisions, swap Toronto and Pittsburgh, and you got something. So they kind of like the idea. Finally, somebody on my side of the idea. Let's get to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. It's tied right now. 17 games left in this season. This is going to be the most important race in baseball, the head-to-head challenge, whether the couch or Blooper wins this. I'm counting on you guys. Please don't blow this, Kurt. Blooper lost yesterday, making a tie. Blooper, who are you going to take today?
Will Myers.
Will Myers?
Really?
He's been hit well this year in Arizona.
Wow, and I agree. I think it's like good to finally have somebody not pick Matt Kemp, even though he's been tearing the cover off the ball. So that's
a very good pick.
That leaves Tyson Ross, the rest of the lineup, your beloved Jed Jerko.
I'm going to go with one of the guys that was walking down the street with Will.
Okay.
And got the balls tossed at him and take Jed.
Jed Jerko, I like it. You're backing up what you talked about earlier.
Sure, have to.
And maybe he'll make some spectacular defensive play that's going to make the difference.
We'll see.
At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Thank you, Kurt. Very fun show today. Tomorrow,
thank you very much.
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Jordan and Randy. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody.